Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The biggest story from February 2000 is that Mick Foley had been backdropped from the top of the Hell in a Cell, gone crashing through the ring canvas, lost to Triple H at No Way Out, which meant he now had to retire. Obviously today we know that wasn't true, but 21 years ago it was 100% the plan. Foley was more than ready to hang his boots up before WWF gave him a call and said, hey, would you like to main event WrestleMania, pal, and earn a truckload of money? And put your hands up if you would say no to that. Hand goes down. That whole pay-per-view was actually pretty decent too, because you had Kurt Angle versus Chris Jericho, the Hardy Boys taking on Edge and Christian, and Viscera versus Mark Henry. Just forget that last one. We were, of course, as well building to WrestleMania 2000, because we had to put the year 2000 at the end of every title just because it was the year 2000. And even without Stone Cold Steve Austin, who was injured, the World Wrestling Federation was on fire. It was making a ton of money, which is why Vince McMahon went, I'm gonna kill the movie known as Beyond the Mat. Now that is a terrific documentary, and if you haven't seen it, you absolutely should go out of your way to put your eyeballs on it. But McMahon had only let those cameras behind the scenes, because at the time, WWF was having their ass kicked by WCW, so he was willing to try whatever the hell he could to try and get back on top. Subsequently though, profits had gone through the roof, so Vince told the USA Network, which of course hosted Raw, I don't want you to accept any kind of advertising deal, and I don't want to be associated with it at all. And mostly this was all down to the fact that it did have scenes depicting Mick Foley's children and family just crying like, oh, I can't believe it, because The Rock are trying to kill him at Royal Rumble 1999. Although saying all of that, this was essentially a very good example of the Barbra Streisand effect. If Vince McMahon had never tried to stop WWF and Beyond the Mat having any kind of affiliation, we wouldn't be talking about it now, and in fact we probably never would have talked about it again, but he did do it, so here we are. Why you've clicked this video though, or so I assume, is one, because you're a very sick individual, but also two, you want to know more about the fact that once on WWF television, Mae Young gave birth to a hand. We shall talk about this properly when we get there in the show, but I just want to share with you the best quote that I did read when I was doing my research. And it comes from the Wrestling Observer newsletter. Because Dave Meltzer said, and I quote, I had no idea what this was. Luckily, I do a radio show. And someone explained that hands were popular sex toys in the 70s and 80s for women. And I guess the idea was she was getting herself off in another decade. And it had been in there for a while. Though just when you thought it couldn't get any worse, it got so, so much more worse. Still, we can't change the past, so let's get in our DeLorean, travel back to 2000, and up those downs for what very may well be the worst Monday Night Raw ever. Well, boy, howdy, did I forget this. The night in WWF, when Mae Young gave birth to a hand, Raw was coming live from Madison Square Garden. Think about all the classics we've seen in this building, and then we've got this. And I can only assume that the fans on that night were like, oh, what's gonna happen with the fallout from Mick Foley? And instead, they had an old woman just popping a hand out of her thing. Our WWE champion Triple H and his real but fake wife Stephanie McMahon were out to start the show too. And at this stage, I was like, wait a minute, why did WWF just love Madison Square Garden in the early 2000s? They'd only been there a month prior for the Royal Rumble. Doesn't really make any sense. Anywho, Triple H goes into how much he respects Mick Foley now, and Stephanie McMahon is looking at him like he's about to throw up over her, and he airs a video package saying goodbye to Mick, And of course, halfway through that video, it turns out it's taking the piss out of the man, and you even see Mick Foley scratching his ass. The game then revealed he was over the moon that he had retired Cactus Jack, and I don't know about you, but here I was 21 years later, and I still sat there going, well, someone's going to interrupt in around about 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and it happened. And this is the real problem with Raw in the modern day. It hasn't actually changed in over 2 decades. In this instance, it was Shane McMahon who had also returned at No Way Out and aligned himself with The Big Show and helped Big Show beat The Rock at that event. Because you remember this, at the Royal Rumble, The Rock had won, but he hadn't won, because when he went over the top rope, Big Show claimed, oh, whose feet touched the mat? So then they had to have a match, and somehow, Rocky lost. As he had defeated the Great One, though, Shane McMahon looked at Triple H and said, well, I guess we have our WrestleMania 2000, stupid 2000, main event, where it will be you, Hunter Hearst Helmsley, taking on my giant. And if anybody bought that at the time, you'd never watched wrestling before. All of this really was the start of the hinting that we were going to do a McMahon in every corner, but flub me sideways, it goes on for so long. I mean, Triple H and Shane McMahon say the same thing to each other for around about 57 years, to the point, I'm going to be honest with you, I got a little bit bored. The Rock is then out there as well, because of course that was always going to happen, and he is wearing the most horrific shirt you've ever seen in your life, and he tells Shane McMahon that he doesn't like him anymore, and he says that Stephanie McMahon is a tramp. That's not my words, that is his. He also guarantees that he will somehow find a way to WrestleMania, and then he congratulates all the people in the ring for being the biggest group of assholes he's ever seen. I'm like, oh, that Rock, he's always so nice. Triple H then does an impression of The Rock, and it is so terrible, you want to get a hot poker and just stab it into your eyes for something else to do, when he decides, oh, Rock, tonight in Madison Square Garden, you're gonna face the Brooklyn Brawler. So all that TV time for that payoff. I mean, if it had been cut in half, it would have been fine. But honestly, go and watch this for yourself. They all just repeat the thing they just said, but then they find another way to see it. Even the fans go quiet. And once again, we are in MSG, which is a rarity. That's why it's got to get it down. We then zoom to the back where we see the Hardy Boys barging in on the APA's fake office. Well, they're all like, hey man, we want to have a match. And Bradshaw and Farooq are like, we don't want to have a match with you. You're basically children. So the Hardys flip over their table and then they just run away. And I was like, okay, I guess they're not good guys at the moment. But they were just being massive dicks. We then go straight into this match too, and as ever, because it is the Attitude Era, nothing is allowed to go more than 5 minutes, and I think this one clocked in at 4. And because they had no time, essentially the first thing you see is Jeff Hardy just diving over the top rope onto Bradshaw and Farooq. So where the hell do you go from there? As it turned out, it was the APA absolutely murdering these two. Some of the shots are so stiff, and after Jeff Hardy has been beaten within an inch of his life, he tags in Matt Hardy. Then it kind of just ends. Because Bradshaw doesn't see it, and then he gets hit by the twist of fate. 1, 2, 3, and that was that. And of course, Bradshaw made sure to get his shoulder up at like 3.1, just so you knew, or he didn't really get pinned. And how stupid is that? And I will say this is fun to a point, and it's always nice seeing guys in their younger days, but you could have taken this off the show, and nothing would have changed aside from what you'd witnessed as a doubt. It is then time for Kurt Angle, though, and despite only doing wrestling for around about 5 minutes, he has already found his flow, as he's doing here backstage. He is both the European and the Intercontinental Champion, and he just wants to sing his own praises to anybody who would listen, and he's found some security guard, and honestly, this security guard's face, he would rather be anywhere else on the planet. This got even better when our Olympic hero got to the ring, because he grabs a microphone and he says to the New York crowd, the only thing I'm addicted to is world championships, unlike Daryl Strawberry, who literally, like on the same day, had been busted for doing cocaine. The fans are so mad at him, he is wonderful. He is also offering an open challenge for his European title, and if you can believe it, it is answered by none other than Rikishi. The year 2000 is a very interesting 12 months for Rikishi, because very soon he's going to be doing it for The Rock. If you know, you know. If you don't know, never look it up. And I was quite looking forward to this match, because like, well, Kurt Angle is amazing and Rikishi is a decent big dude. But as ever, I wasn't given anything, because I think it clocked in at around about 1 minute and 52 seconds. It's a down. Rikishi is able to hit the stink face, and for the younger fans that are watching, that is a giant man taking his bum and sticking it in somebody else's face before he does wiggle around. And Kurt Angle was so appalled by this, he just rolls out of the ring and he gets counted out. I mean, it really is the definition of pointless, but then all of a sudden, the fallout, everything goes crazy because Chris Jericho and China are out here and Chris Jericho is just doing every catchphrase under the sun. And then he grabs Kurt Angle, throws him back in the ring, and Rikishi hits the Rikishi driver. And I'm not surprised this move got banned. His head basically just goes straight into the floor. It does look flipping great. All of a sudden, the Radicals are here, though, because they want to beat up Rikishi for all his ass attacks. But then Too Cool are out to balance the books. I was like, man, I need to lay down. There is far too much happening. Too Cool then go to do their dance, because that was their big thing in 2000. But of course, they get Chris Jericho and China to join in. And while Chris Jericho doesn't look too uncomfortable, poor China looks like she'd rather be in jail. But you can't fault this. You can't, because the crowd are losing their minds. They are so, so happy. So fair play to them. We couldn't end it there either, because we had to plan more for the rest of the night. So then Chris Jericho and China are being interviewed backstage when the Radicals interrupt. And long story short, later on we're going to get Chris Jericho versus Perry Saturn. And everything I just said happened in around about 49 seconds.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Edge and Christian were there now, and they had been involved in quite the story, because Terry Runnels had turned her back on the Hardy Boys the night before as she assisted Edge and Christian. But Edge and Christian had told her, we don't want your help. But Terry Runnels had decided, well, you're gonna get it anyway. Terry was also on commentary, where she let us know the reason she broke up with the Hardy Boys is because they didn't come and visit her in the hospital. And that's right, she says that word, but of course, as we all know, she definitely meant local medical facility. Al Snow then pops up on the ramp, and yes, this is when he was teaming with Steve Blackman and was trying to get some personality out of Steve. And one way he tried to do this was by putting some cheese on his head. Once again, if you don't know about head cheese, just never put it into your mind. He was trying something different on this evening, though, and he had new entrance music for Blackman that was quite kooky, I suppose. They had a bunch of dumb clips on the Titantron. But the best thing about this is Steve Blackman never broke character once. He looks so damn pissed off. So never forget that I love Steve Blackman. Damn it, I love Al Snow as well. This only goes 3.5 minutes for reasons I've already documented, and it ends when Terry Runnels reveals the head cheese hat from a bag she bought to ringside. And this is so distracting to Steve Blackman, someone who has the skills to basically kill a dude. He doesn't know what's going on. He gets drop kicked in the back by Christian. He gets speared by Edge, and he gets pinned. Which means if there was a WWF record book, it would say Steve Blackman lost because he was distracted by a woman outside wearing cheese. Why did we all like wrestling in the year 2000? Segment also finished with Terry holding up two fingers towards Edge and Christian to let her know I've helped you twice. But Terry, they don't want your help. So all of this was a waste of time. Look, I was entertained and I was laughing my ass off, but down. The Rock was then back for his match against the Brooklyn Brawler. And if you just want to know how over he was, even though this was the second time the crowd had seen him, they cheered as if he was the savior of the world. I mean, it is frankly ridiculous. As you can already figure out as well, this one doesn't go more than 30 seconds. And when the Brawler is coming out here, he may as well be a man on the Green Mile, and the fans may as well start going, oh, dead man walking. He just gets rock bottomed, One, two, three, again it's a down. The real reason for doing this though is that we were gonna set up our main event, so The Rock grabs a microphone afterwards and says, Triple H, you're a piece of trash, and Big Show, you're a piece of trash, and I hate all of you. When out comes Triple H, out comes Stephanie McMahon, out comes Shane McMahon, and out comes The Big Show. They once again just repeat everything they had said in the opening segment, with Triple H being very defiant, like, look, Rock, you're not going to get into WrestleMania no matter what you do or no matter what you say. But then Stephanie just grabs the microphone and goes, actually, no, I've been thinking about it. And instead of you never being in the main event at WrestleMania, what we are going to do is later on, you will take on my husband and you will take on The Big Show. And if you can beat them, hell, why don't you just come along anyway? What? Why? The Rock didn't even have anything over them. He had just beaten the Brooklyn Brawler. So this comes out of nowhere and is actually unjustifiable. It would be like having no middle section of a book. So it says the hero woke up and the next page and he won. You'd be like, but what did he do in the middle? Nobody cares. The Rock does recap all this and finishes it with, it doesn't matter if it's my last chance, which was always a good line, but it wasn't his last chance because he was indeed in the main event of WrestleMania 2000. We then had what has to be the most interference in a match maybe ever in the history of wrestling. It was making me laugh. Because it is Chris Jericho versus Perry Saturn and Dean Malenko in China out there as well. And as soon as the referee isn't looking, Dean Malenko low bridges Chris Jericho over the top rope and then just looks at China and murders her with one of the hardest clotheslines you've ever seen. He then throws her back in the ring for Perry Saturn to finish her off with a suplex, but Chris Jericho notices, oh my gosh, the official's not paying any attention, so he then hits Perry Saturn in the balls, hits the lion salt, and he gets the 1-2-3. And for the maybe fifth time watching this, I was like, man, I'm gonna have to go for a walk. There was also that too, because there are so many shenanigans in this, nobody obeys the rules at all. So once again, it's gonna get it down. Talking about the year 2000 as well, it was a very strange time for D-Generation X. Obviously, Triple H was going on to past as new, but he was also kind of still hooked up with them, so you didn't really know what direction they were going in. The other problem in February was that Billy Gunn had a shoulder injury, so we needed a way to write him off TV. We kind of did that by kicking him out of the group. Because the New Age Outlaws were ready for a tag team title match on this evening, but Triple H had heard that Billy Gunn was hurt, so he went in there and said, look, I'm taking it away from you, and don't look at me like that, I'll punch you in the face. Billy kept looking at him like that, so he got punched in the face. The twist, however, was that the Road Dogg and X-Pac also laid into Billy Gunn. So I suppose that's it. I don't really remember, but when we do get the New Age Outlaws having their title match later, it is Road Dogg and X-Pac. You tell me. I have a lot of wrestling in my brain. Not all of it can stay there. And then yes, right, settle in, here we go. Because the next match was Mark Henry taking on Crash Holly, and Mae Young does indeed come out with the world's strongest man. Now you don't even have to worry about most of this because we just need to talk about the finish. Even though Mark Henry essentially has the match won, Mae Young gets in there and I suppose hits both the best and the worst splash you've ever seen. Because it's kind of amazing a 70 plus year old woman could do this to begin with, but in terms of like the visual look of it, it is absolutely dreadful. As she has landed on her stomach though, somehow that triggers her pregnancy, which is not a thing, so a bunch of EMTs run out there. And it's time to have a kid. She is rushed to some room because they're never going to make it to the local medical facility. And that's when the screen fades to black. So WWE was actually using this as a cliffhanger. I mean, I have no words. I have absolutely no words. And the crowd are deathly silenced for this too. Well, actually, no, I do have one word down. And while you were sitting pondering, well, what the hell are they going to do next? All of a sudden, it is Chris Benoit versus Taz. Now, there is a very nice moment when Taz comes to the ring, because of course he's a New York native and everyone goes crazy. But 2.5 minutes later, it was over. And this really does make a mockery of my current Raw reviews, because I'm always acting like, well, why doesn't WWE do clean finishes? Because they've never done clean finishes, you bald idiot. However, I'm still giving it a down. And yes, halfway through, the Big Boss Man and Albert just get in there, and they are beating up Taz, because I suppose at the time, they didn't like the color orange, and this is how they were gonna prove it. The Big Boss Man is great because he grabs a microphone after this and says that the New York native sucks as much as the fans do. And I don't think we've talked about Raid Trailer here on Rutter Ups and Downs up to this point. So I just wanna say it was a tragedy what happened to him. He was taken far too soon. And two,
He is so damn underrated because he is so damn good.
The best part, however, is before this, there is a bit of a German suplexathon by Chris Benoit. And when he hits one of them, he holds onto the bridge as Bossman and Albert start to kick Taz's ass. But I don't think Chris Benoit did this on purpose. I think Chris Benoit, in his head, thought he was still having a match. You need to go and see this. I don't know why it's so funny, but it's pretty damn funny. We then zoom from this match to our makeshift labor ward, where, yes, we get one of the worst segments in WWE history. For starters, Mae Young wants a cigar and these medical professionals give her one, because that sounds like a great idea when you're about to give birth. And then one of the EMTs says, "Hey, Mae, when was the last time you had your period?" And she says, 1957. Am I meant to laugh at this? Because I was not laughing. The guy is then losing it and asking Mark Henry, "How the hell did you impregnate this woman to begin with?" And then you start getting cartoon sound effects, including squelching and fart noises. If you were a brand new viewer to WWF Raw in the year 2000 and you saw this and you vowed never to watch professional wrestling again, I would not blame you. I mean, it really does feel like she's given birth to a Looney Tune, and then this same EMT gets a pair of pliers. I mean, what are you gonna do with that? Stick it in the thing and rip what we're meant to think is a baby out? It is just all unimaginable. I kind of wanted to die during this, which was especially true when, yes, they pull out whatever was up there, and it is a hand, and the hand is covered in goop. This is mostly all done so Pat Patterson can drop the punchline of, "Let's all give Mae Young a hand," which they do. They all start clapping as Gerald Briscoe throws up in the corner. And I said to myself out loud, who was this for? I can only assume that WWE had absolutely no clue how to pay off this angle, so they did just turn it into a joke. But really, the joke was on me, especially because this is the second time I've watched it. But this is dreadful. It is truly dreadful. It's one of the worst things that WWE has ever done, and I can't believe it even entered somebody's head, let alone made it onto television. So it's not just a down. Give it a flipping brown down. The worst part is that we cut away from this, like, well, you better deal with it. You're the person that had to see it. JR tries to make sense of it. And then thankfully the Dudley boys are coming out, so you just look at them instead. And yes, it was for their title match, which tied into everything early with Billy Gunn and beating him up. And like everything else on this show, it is getting a down. This was mostly because I just couldn't get past the hand. Like, I was watching the Dudley boys versus the new age outlaws, but in my head, I was just seeing a goopy, slimy hand and wondering how the hell we got there, and also why the hell I was watching it again. And this match is actually quite long for a Raw in 2000 because it goes for 5 minutes, but did you think we got any kind of clean finish or a winner? Of course we didn't. At the end of it, Kane just comes out there because he is super duper mad because his girlfriend Tori had betrayed him and went off with X-Pac. And I have another question to ask you now. Whoever, after Kane debuted in 1997, said, "Yeah, it was a pretty good gimmick, and he's a serial killer, he's kind of crazy, but who is he dating? What is his love life?" Anyway, he is here, and he chokeslams the Road Dogg, and he chokeslams the Dudley boys before Tori and X-Pac just run away because they're terrified. And you don't even get a bell ringing here. So the match has never officially ended, which means 21 years on, it's still going. I hope someone eventually wins. We then finally get a proper video for Mick Foley because, yes, as said in the entrance, he was meant to retire. And this is really nice. This is really quite sentimental. And yeah, it's cheesy too. But I liked it, which is why it's the only thing on this entire show that is getting it up. And also, who the hell would have turned down this offer to come back and main event WrestleMania and get a whopping big paycheck? I mean, maybe Dave Bautista. Dave Bautista in an interview recently said he's never going to come back to wrestling because he wants his retirement to mean something. But otherwise, you've got him back. It is then time for our main event. And even though The Rock is out for a third time, yes, the crowd still lose their minds. And I realize this is why WWE does it today. Well, they take their top stars and just book them in multiple segments throughout the show. Because they remembered they were able to do it with The Rock. They were able to do it with Stone Cold Steve Austin. The problem being, in 2021, we don't have a Rock and we don't have a Stone Cold. He is, of course, taking on Triple H and The Big Show. And this is just chaos. I mean, in around about 10 seconds, Triple H and The Rock are just fighting up the aisleway. And referee Al Hebner's like, "Well, I could cut him out, but I don't want to, so I'm not going to bother." And then when they get back in the ring, Big Show is just throwing The Rock around. Because he's a really big guy, and The Rock is not as big of a guy. Rock then fights back before Big Show gives him the worst backbreaker you've ever seen. It doesn't come close to hitting. And then if you actually watch this match and make notes, you realize
Nobody knows who the legal man is. At one point, Triple H is in there, but no one has given him a tag. And then it happens later on for the big show, and I realise within this moment, this just sums up the Attitude Era. Deep down, you just wanted to see someone get hit in the head. Just as The Rock is building to a big win, though, he's going to hit the people's elbow on Triple H, Shane McMahon just gets in there and wallops him, causing the DQ. Now, I had a meltdown at first because I was like, wait a minute. Not only did Stephanie make this match, but now you, Shane McMahon, have allowed The Rock to win via disqualification, meaning he is going to the main event of WrestleMania. We were then told by the commentators, Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler, that, oh no, The Rock had to pin or submit, and he didn't. But my word, what a way to stretch out a story. Rocky is so annoyed he whams McMahon right in the balls and punches Triple H. But he should have been worried about the 7-foot man in the corner, because he's really big. He gives Rock the choke slam, screams in his face, and I couldn't believe it, the Raw logo came up on screen, and that's how the show ends. Jim Ross is also livid about all this, because obviously his new favourite had been screwed. But fair play to Mr. Ross, he gave so much of a damn, he made me give a damn too. But even he is not good enough to save this show, because it is truly dreadful. Like, if you like so bad it's good movies, you may get something out of it. And by the end of it, I did feel like I'd been entertained, but I felt like I'd been entertained for all the wrong reasons. None of it makes sense. I don't think we got one clean finish. It's just so go, 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 that it wears you out. What was the Attitude Era? I think deep down, maybe we're all on drugs. That's why overall, it is getting a down.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.